the book of Acts, chapter 11 and verse 23, you know, we got to have a reason why we live. What do we want to do? Well, I want to be a blessing to believers. And I want to be able to encourage believers to keep serving the Lord and stay faithful. Keep doing right. Because all of us ought to know by now, we need to start cramming for exams. We're going to be with the Lord pretty soon. And I believe he's going to come very soon. And it says in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, who, when he came, talking about Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God. Now, how do you see the grace of God? It's the people that were saved by grace. He saw the people that had heard the gospel and put their faith and trust in the Lord. And there you go. And so I've been in a lot of places where I've seen the grace of God work. And then it says this, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. That should be our prayer, is for every person who knows the Lord to cleave unto the Lord. This is my desire for those who already know the Lord. So I have a purpose in my life. And you know, if you don't have it nailed down to why are you living? Why do you want God to give you an extension of time? In Acts chapter 11, verse 24, it says this, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Now, notice what this man who was a good man and filled with the Holy Spirit and men of faith and much people was added unto the Lord. In other words, this good man, this man that was filled with the Holy Spirit, was a soul winner. Wouldn't you deduct that from that scripture? So whatever it is that we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and go soul winning, I'm sure the devil doesn't want you to do it. It'll probably be of the Lord. This is my desire for those who do not know the Lord. So the saved, we want to minister to them. Those that are lost, we want to minister to them. So in December, one of my goals was to lose 15 pounds. You ever have a New Year's resolution? Well, I wanted to lose 15 pounds. I found the key. Go to, if you just go to intensive care, and, you know, I see you for about 3 weeks, you'll lose about 15 pounds. That's not the way I planned it, but it is a way that it happened. So when I came out of the hospital, I was so glad I lost a few pounds. I found a few pounds since then. But I had wondered where I would be on my 80th birthday. Because a few years ago when I was 70 years old, Dare to Share was having a meeting in Lakeland, Florida. And they had about 3,000 there, and so they celebrated my birthday. And it was a great time. I mean, usually you don't have 3,000 people show up for you. Of course, they didn't know they was doing that. And then on my 75th, my daughter had a surprise, and I had about 150 there. And then when I got COVID, well, February the 4th, there were three people there. Me and my wife and another girl. She said, well, what do you want for your birthday? I says, I want a Supreme beat, a burrito. So I got my wish. I got my burrito Supreme. Now, I did not know that I was going to be going to the emergency room. My oxygen levels were down in the low 70s. And they said that was pretty critical. It's kind of like trying to breathe through a straw. And that's not too good. You don't get enough oxygen that way. So anyway, I was taken to the emergency room. First thing they asked me is, are you willing to go on the ventilator? Now, what I do for me is me. It has nothing to do with what somebody else ought to do. I'm not telling somebody what to do or not to do. I'm just saying for me, I said, I'm 80 years old. I done had a good life. If I'm gonna die, I just soon go home and be with my wife and just die with my wife. I said, I really don't want that. And so, they said, well, if you have a heart attack, I said, don't resuscitate me. So they had to get Betty on the phone too and verify all of this. Cause I feel like, you know, don't beat my heart to death, my chest and all. Just let me go. Cause I believe that, you know, I had to have a little talk with the Lord. And I did have a talk with the Lord. And my talk with the Lord was very interesting. But here's a scripture that came into my mind while I'm laying there and can't hardly breathe. And in Philippians 1:20, it says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So whether I live or if I die, I just want the Lord to be pleased that that's what he wants. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, and I was right there at the door, and so I knocked at the door. And the Lord opened the door, and I said, well, you want me to come in or stay on this side? He says, well, I got Dr. Scudder up here, and he's doing pretty good, so I don't think I need you right now. So anyway, I decided to put it into God's hands. I said, if I go or if I stay, I'm a winner either way. So I'm just going to let you make the decision. And I had a sweet peace about it, because I really didn't care if I go or if I stay. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, Hezekiah asked for an extension of life, and you gave him 15 years, and he messed it up. I don't want to mess up no time. If you leave me, it's because I want to be used. I don't want to sit soaking sour someplace. I want to do what I can as long as I can. So I'm doing what I'm doing while I'm still young, because when I get old, I might not be able to go. So we just look at it that way. Now, the Philippian verse here, most people say, this is my favorite verse. For to me, to live is football. For me, to live is sports. It's money. It's popularity. No, fame, whatever. For me to live is for Christ to live, whether it be by life or by death, and to die is gain. If we serve the Lord, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So it's a precious thing to the Lord. So because he finally gets the one that he sent his son to die for. So death should not be something that we're afraid of, something that we look forward to. It's just, leaving this world and waking up in another world, the one that we've heard about and talked about, and I look forward to it. But if I live in this body, this is the fruit of my labor. In other words, he said, if you get 70 years, but, by the grace of God, you get 80 years. There's a sorrow and heartache, and then you still fly away. You're still going to die. So regardless of how long you live, it's not how long you lived. How well did you live the time that you lived? And who did you live for? Did you live just to see how much can I accumulate in this world? I think there's a little bit more than that. In Philippians 1:23 says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I just wanted the Lord to know he has the perfect freedom to do with me whatever he wanted. Take me home or leave me here. But if you're going to leave me here, I want to do something. I want to be able to have enough good help that I can keep going and talking to people and traveling and preaching, because that's what I love. But while I was in there having these talks with the Lord, somebody put it on Facebook, and then it went on Twitter, in radio stations, YouTube, and people were praying for me all over the world. I mean, it was just awesome. And so I just told the Lord, you just do whatever you want to do. And I think that's what the Lord has done. You see, some things we can't control, but we know somebody who can control things, and just accept whatever he wants to do. And then don't worry about it. Colossians 4:2 says this, continuing in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. In other words, we have a reason for living, a purpose in our life. I don't know what it would be like to live like most people. They don't have any real purpose in their life. It's just all about themselves, trying to make themselves happy by what they get, wherever they can go, and so forth. I have found out there was a verse in the Bible, all the way back here in Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee what? The desires of thine heart. Well, 55 years ago when I decided I'm going to do that, I should be able to look back over my life and see that God has kept his word and that I can delight in the Lord for the rest of my life because he's given me more than I ever expected. And then he says that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. One of the reasons that we want to do what we can, why we can, is there are those that are without this knowledge, without this salvation. So we want to be wise and redeem the time that we have. It means buying up all these opportunities that God gives to us. And every day we get another 24 hours. What are we going to get with that time that God gave to us? So in 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, verse 9, he says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." The more you want to do for the Lord, the more the devil wants to do to you to stop you from doing it. So I found out that there's always troubles, always problems. You can't be exempt from those things. If you want to see what the Christian life is really about, read about Paul and all the things that happened to him. And you'll see that the Christian life is really, it's about serving the Lord and suffering for him. And he says, if a many man live godly, he shall suffer persecution. I said, I got a motorhome. It's not new. It's old like I am. But we're not ready to be put out to pasture yet. So there's always maintenance you got to do. And these bodies of ours, the older they get, the more maintenance they need. We can't even go past, Walgreens or anything like that. The car goes, pulled into the parking lot. It's just automatic. So anyway, I kind of look at it as an opportunity that God's given us only this one time in life to serve him. Wouldn't it be ashamed to throw away your life by living for something other than the most important? So we want to reach souls. Many people trust the Lord because the last thing they want me to do is, Pastor, you've got to keep your mouth shut. You can't talk. You've got to, because I would start talking, then I'd give out of air. And there goes my levels down. And said, you can't talk. That's all I've ever done all my life. And I said, I'll make a deal with you. I want to be the best patient you ever had in this hospital. I said, I will do anything and everything you tell me to do. But I want you to do one thing that I'm asking you. What's that? I said, I want you to put on the board over there, YankeeArnold.com. And I want you to go to my site and I want you to listen to my 4-minute video. So the head nurse at the VA hospital, she says, all right. The next morning she came in and she looked at me and she says, I went home and I watched your video. I trusted Christ. It made so much sense. Immediately I told my daughter, 28, who's 28 years old, and I sent her the link so she could listen to it. And then it just started over and over again. And they felt so sorry for this old man. You know, laying there and I hadn't shaved and I looked pathetic. But God uses everything. And so that's why I really enjoyed being in the hospital. Because of all the people that I got to meet. And I had progressed from ICU into another room. So they put me in there and I had their little tables. So we go in there and eat. I walked in there and there was nobody there except one lady sitting over there. I hadn't seen her before. So I looked over at her and I says, do you know for certain you're going to go to heaven when you die? You say, you don't really do that, do you? Yes, I do. You mean just that straightforward, right in their face? Yes. I ain't got time to play games. And they warm them up for a half an hour. Now, do you know where you're going when you die? She looked at me and she said, yes, I do. Just as proud and cocky right back to me. She says, I do know I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know I have eternal life. And nobody can ever pluck me out of my Father's hands. Yes, ma'am. So we talked about something else for a little while. Later on, she came in for the evening meal. And she said, there I am. I said, you know, I used to be the pastor of Calvary Community Church. And then she looked over at me and she says, you. I said, what? She said, you're the one that I've been listening to on the radio. I recognize your voice. You're the one that led me to the Lord. And she said, I've always wanted to meet you. God had to give me COVID just so I'd come in here and meet you. Well, he could have told me about it outside. I didn't know I had to get COVID just to come in here and meet you. But I didn't tell her that, Tom. But it was so wonderful to find out. Now I know how come she was so positive, so sure. It must have been the guy who led her to the Lord. But anyway, when I had to have all this oxygen, and I couldn't hardly get away with it, because I had a hard time breathing. When they got ready to release me, it was interesting because I didn't know if I was going to get this great big old oxygen tank and I'd have to wheel it around or, you know, a bag or something, you know. So people were praying for me all over. And when I walked out of the hospital, I didn't need any oxygen at all. I was breathing enough on my own. It was amazing how fast my recovery came to be. But while I was in there, in bad shape, my sister-in-law called me up and her daughter, and they were in tears. They were at the hospital with my brother. My brother was in Georgia, 500 miles away. And they were crying. Says, he got COVID just like I did, almost the same time. And we weren't even together. And he, his organs were shutting down, and they said that there's nothing more they can do for him, that he was in bad shape. And they cried and said, Yankee, can you talk to him? So I tried to talk to my brother, and he was just like in a trance. And he was doing FaceTime with me. And I couldn't get him to respond in any way. He was like in a coma. And I tried to chew him out, tell him to say something funny, and he had no response. And so they're going to send him home for hospice care. And I told him, and I says, little man, if you don't eat, you're going to die. And I believe that, like David says, you have taught me to war. I says, man, we're supposed to fight in this life. And we're supposed to war. And we war against the devil. And we war against death. We fight these battles that you've got to fight. Let the Lord take you when the Lord's ready for you. But at least as long as you can, fight to live. Have a reason for living. And he didn't, had no reaction, nothing. They took him home. And a couple of days, and then we put it on Facebook, please pray for my brother. Everybody started praying for my brother. Anyway, on February the 4th, he calls me up on the phone and sang happy birthday to me. On February the 9th, it was his birthday, I called him up and sang happy birthday to him. And now his mind is clear, and he's still doing a great job. So this is why this is so important to know. So when I finally came home from the hospital, my son came down, and he was able to walk with me. And I walked about 30 steps with a walker, and that's all I could handle. So now I can walk a mile and a half, and it'd be perfectly fine, be all right. But the art of soul winning is something that every child of God should seek to master. And remember these three things. There's always these three things when it comes to soul winning. As an opening, a closing, and a content. Opening, closing, content. Almost all of our sermons, we got an opening, closing, and a comment. So we study these comments. That's the message that we have. But how to open that conversation, you know, the opening. Everybody needs to find out what works for them. Now, I have developed my own way of doing it, but everybody needs a way that you can do it and it's smooth for you. It's rough at starting, but it's still the best way to do it. Because everybody has to have a way. I don't believe that God is going to be pleased with us when we live year after year after year and never win a soul. Don't even witness. Don't even try. And that's why I say, we don't want to just come to church and just sit soaking sour. You know, you soak it all in, but you don't do anything with it. We should be active, serving the Lord, talking to people about the Lord. In Ephesians 6:19, it says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Even Paul had to pray this. This is one of the apostles. And so sometimes we're afraid. No, we're just plain scared. Some people, it's just, you're a coward. You don't have what it takes to walk up to an individual. This morning, we're sitting at the hotel, and I just finished eating, and this one kid walked in there, and I looked up at him. I said, "How tall are you?" He says, 6'6". I said, "You're tall." He went and got his stuff, and he went in and sat down. Well, I'm finished. So nobody was sitting down there with him, so I got up, and I walked over there. And I says, "Do you mind if I talk to you for a few minutes?" He said, "No, it'll be fine." I said, "Do you mind if I sit down?" No, you said, "I'd never do that." "I do." "And you have not because you have not." I sat down there. I said, "How old are you?" He says, "I'm 15. I thought, man, what is he going to look like when he's 30? Anyway, I said, "You don't have to say too much. I just want you to listen to me." I went through my little spiel that I always do. And sometimes, you know, you got to have a tool. Well, the best tool I've ever found that I use is a heaven track. Y'all probably don't have those here, but we have. You know, and so I've always told myself, this is my picture when I was 17 and I had hair. And they usually chuckle a little bit. I said, "Now on the back, it has my name, Yankee Arnold Ministries." I said, "You ever heard of Yankee Doodle?" "Yeah." I said, "That was my dad." And I said, "Really? What amazes me is that they think I'm really that old." I said, "No, I'm lying to you. I'm a lying preacher. And I just want you to check my website out. By the way, do you mind if I explain something to you?" And by then, you know, it's open. And I go ahead and tell them, "No, isn't it true you've heard almost all your life that Christ died on the cross and paid for all the sins of the world? You've heard that?" "Yes." "If you pay for all the sins of the world, mine, yours, and everybody, why should we go to hell and pay for our sins if he already paid for our sins?" I says, "He paid for your sins because he didn't want you to do it." And I says, "He loved you so much he'd rather die than live without you." So when he died and came back from the dead, he said the only thing he wanted you to do to go to heaven is to believe he did that for you. I said, "If that's all he wanted you to do is believe he did it for you," I says, "can you handle that?" That 15-year-old kid says, "Yes, I can." I said, "Will you believe it?" "Yes, I will." I said, "If I came in here 10 years from now and you're 7'6", I says, "I asked you, where are you going today? What would you tell me?" "He said, I'm going to heaven." I said, "How do you know?" And I went like this: "Christ died for my sins. That's the only reason anybody's going." Put it down there real nice and easy for people. Be a soul winner. If you're going to be anything in this world, be a soul winner. Be able to win a person to put their trust in Christ, persuading them. And you'll be glad that you did. I've had that as my main goal all my life. I have no regrets in doing so. And then in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, he says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." You ever get scared to witness? Getting started is the hardest thing of all. Just doing it. But if you go ahead and you do it, it's amazing how all of a sudden the fear goes, and man, you're in hog heaven, and they're listening. Now, maybe not everybody will treat you right, but don't let the devil so make you so afraid. Fear is a success crusher. But it says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom," because Paul wanted people to listen to the message more than what that messenger is. See, sometimes we're so, you know, they'll get mad at me. They won't like me. They're going to reject me. But it's not about you. It's that message. Just be a cheap radio set, just transmitting a message. So in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 4, he said, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The lost man should be excited about the message instead of the man." That they are so glad they know they have eternal, and they know they're going to heaven when they die. You see, what we do is we're trying to do whatever we can. We're pointing people to Christ because we can't save them, but he can. And so we want them to put their confidence and their trust in the Lord. And so we learned how to open up some of these little illustrations of it's kind of like windows. They let light into a dark room. And some people just do not know and don't understand some of the best things that are in life is not only knowing the Lord, but walking with the Lord and serving the Lord. Take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want you to see there in verse 3. See there it says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, you want to make sure you don't use the word of God and twist the word of God to make it say what you want it to say. You know, whenever they told me I had to go to rehab, they had this guy that was in there working. He was a big black guy. Boy, was he built. I mean, he had muscles hanging all over the place. You know how I used to build up my muscles? I would fill the washtub full of water, and then I'd pull the plug and then fight the current. But anyway, he was all big and strong. And at that time, I could barely walk, and I had to have my little walker, you know. And I would try to walk. And I had to walk down there and go around that pole, come back down and sit down. And, man, it was so hard to make that. I'm telling you, I've been macho all my life. I've had strength to just do, go. And now I'm getting another side of life. And I don't like that side. Anyway, when I got through, he said, now I want you to go over here and get on that machine and kind of push the legs and the arms and so forth. So I started doing that. And they started to walk off. I said, I wanted to talk to you. He's not going to talk to me now. He was just wanting me to get on the thing and set up. He had to get something else done. I said, I wanted you to check out my website. He said, well, what's your website? I said, yankeearnold.com. He said, I'll do it. He went over there and wrote it down. And anyway, the next day I came in. And he was on the other end and he was working with somebody. And he looked at me and he says, hey. And I looked over at him. He says, look. He pulled out his wallet. He trusts the Lord by watching my 4-minute video. I've got over 170,000 views on that thing now. And I think of how many people have trusted the Lord. But see, it was a simple thing. I didn't know how to put the stuff up there. Somebody else had to figure these things out for me. I just like preaching. Somebody else can figure out all this stuff. I have a hard time knowing where to turn it on or not. But you'll be surprised at the people that you can win to the Lord just by taking advantage of the ones that are right in front of you. You know, wherever you go, you can have a night where you can spend and say, we're going to go soul winning on a Friday night or a Thursday night or something like that. But I find that's just better just to live that way. And God will bring somebody into your path and somebody into your path. See, here's a person who wants to know and here's somebody who wants to tell. Do you think God and his providence can make your paths cross? I was one day trying to get an older car for Betty. Still got the car. And it was already an old car when I got it. So we got it. And she was in the parking lot. And I knew that she wanted to make a deal, and I did too. But I figured if I talked to her before we agree, she has to listen. But if I do it afterwards, she might just have to go. I says, ma'am, I says, I'm about 75 years old, a few years ago. I says, I've never had anybody ever tell me how to go to heaven, except one person. And all those years, I said, now, I don't know how old you are, but the odds are that you've never had anybody tell you how to go to heaven when you die. And she says, no. I said, I may be that only person. Do you got just a minute where I can explain it to you? She stood there, and I explained it. She trusted Christ as Savior. But see, what if I hadn't have done that? Because while I'm out and bought a car, we're so busy. We're so busy. And one time I was in, I think it was North Carolina. And we had gotten through, I left the tip and, you know, left the heaven track. And me and Betty was going out and going to pay at cash register. And the waitress had come out of the dining room area, and she had a tray in her hand and all this food on it, and the place was crowded, and she's standing there. She walks up to me, and I'm standing in her line, and she says, "Would you do me a favor?" I said, "What's that?" She says, would you tell me how to go to heaven?" Because it was on that track. She had gotten the track off the table. And she got food. And there's people everywhere. And I'm standing in line to pay. She walks up to me. "Can you take just a minute and explain it to me?" You ever have anybody do that to you? So standing there, and I'm talking loud enough for everybody in the whole restaurant to hear me. Because I have sometimes a loud voice. And so I explained it to her. And she just started crying. She trusted Christ as Savior. She was excited. Would you believe that 30-something years later, she found me on YouTube, on the internet somewhere, and she emailed me a thing saying that she was that waitress in that place that I had talked to. So you don't know what's going to happen to that little young kid or that teenage boy or that woman you take the time to talk to. Don't try to figure out. No, just bring people to the Lord. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do. When Christ says about the abundant life, that you may have it more abundantly. Abundant life is a fruitful life. And in that same book of John, he talks about bearing fruit and more fruit and much fruit. "Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit." Do you want to glorify your Heavenly Father? By life or death. If you're going to live for the Lord, then you're going to have to learn to talk for the Lord. It's just not a matter of you just living a good, clean life and staying out of trouble and going to church. Those are good. But it still doesn't relinquish the responsibility to talk to people. Even though it's the most scariest thing in the world. It can be. But it can also cause you to reap a harvest of people that's never heard, never understood. If the greatest thing that's ever happened to you was to trust Christ as your Savior, then the greatest thing that somebody could have ever done was to tell you how to be saved. Think it through. And I think it is the goal of the right thing. Notice what he says here in verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And so therefore he said, take the gospel into all the world. So we're supposed to go take the gospel. And if we will do what God says do, God says he's going to bless your life. I believe I'm alive only because of my position on the gospel. God wouldn't need to spare me if I'm not going to do anything. But I believe that if I'm going to serve him, I believe that God has honored the fervent prayer of many righteous people. And there's thousands of churches that thought I was worth praying for. And a lot of the emails that I got was, "Yankee, we need your clarity of the gospel. Don't leave us now." It was my choice. But if God leaves me here, I know what I'm supposed to do. Anytime it seems like anything happens, Betty says, "Yankee, you know why we're here? Find somebody to witness to." And she's always pointing, "You got to get this one. They're not doing anything. You can go get them." She sets it up. And then I go talk to them. I have a lot of people trust the Lord. But it's something that we're supposed to do. But now, one thing I did want you to see is right here in this verse. In verse 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." See, when you explain the gospel, you're showing people the face of God. You're showing them what God is like. There is no better description that manifests God himself than the gospel message. Because that's how people see God and what he's done for us. So every one of us that knows the Lord should be more precious to you than the clothes you have on your back. He should be real to you. And then he makes a statement. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts," get this, "to give, shined in art to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then he says this wonderful verse in verse 7. He says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This knowledge about going to heaven, how to get there. We have that knowledge in these earthen vessels. And therefore, he says, seeing we have this ministry, we faint not. See what it says there in verse 1? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we faint not. We don't stop. We don't quit. We stay at it and just keep doing it. And when you look there in verse 8, we're troubled. But there's a lot of opportunities, but there's problems. Lot of afflictions. Problems. Things that happens to you that wouldn't happen to you probably if you didn't serve the Lord. And that's why with some people, it's a great relief that I don't have to, you know, I don't have all problems that I had before. Because now I don't go to church and I don't do anything for the Lord. I don't read the Bible. I don't witness. But man, I feel so much better. Of course you will. But it ain't over yet. Somebody's going to hold you accountable. And that day is coming. When we have to give an account to the Lord for what we did with the time that God gave to us, with whatever talent and abilities they may be. So in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, but we didn't quit. We're distressed, but we didn't quit. In verse 9, persecuted, but we didn't quit. Cast down, but we didn't quit. Why? Because of the ministry that we have. And that's why he makes a statement there in verse 16. Look in verse 16 really quickly. For which cause we faint not. There's a cause. There's a reason why we don't stop. We don't quit. I know that concerning myself, Pastor Tom, we all work to get the job done. And we know that regardless of how many years we didn't put in, we can't say, well, I didn't reach my quota. I don't have to do any more. I finally learned something. It's no time to stop. You know, I believe I know more at 80 than I did at 60. You don't believe that? I believe I do. I believe I'm more valuable to the Lord the older I get, because I know how to help more people because of the things that God has worked in our lives. And so he says in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, that body of ours, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You can get stronger spiritually every day. For our light affliction. What light affliction? This life. All the things that happens in life. It's just a light affliction. He says, get this. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Those things that happens are working for you. All the things that you says are bad. I used to have a guy that come to me and says, I got some bad news. I said, no, you don't. I said, you got some news. I said, that doesn't mean it's bad. It might be just your perspective. Because I have found out, living long enough, that sometimes that so-called bad news was good news. And that good news was bad news. There's news. I am to accept things in a way that I can accomplish more for the Lord as an opportunity. And so he makes this statement in closing. In verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, the way you kind of expend the idea of the rapture or the, you know, sitting there at the judgment seat of Christ, it's because you believe it. And if you really believe it, well then, what are you doing about it? You really believe Jesus is coming soon. The people still need to hear the gospel. Then that's why we do what we do. Every church is not like this church. You are fortunate to have a pastor who believes the gospel is the most important thing. And that's why we're always trying to explain to people that God loves us. Christ paid for our sins. And if we'll believe it, he'll give us eternal life as a free gift and never cast us out and never lose us. The best news and all the world. Thank you, and God bless. And let's close in a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we are thankful so much for your watch care and your love and all your provision for us. And Father, there may be others here that have gone through similar situations like I did at the hospital. And Father, you have raised us up. Some people got to be taken home, and some people are left. But Father, we know you make no mistakes. Help us to utilize the time that you've given us, not to waste it. Bless each person here and help them to find something they can do for the cause of Christ. We're thankful for all those that support this ministry, that are involved and do the work, many hands. And Father, we thank you so much for Tom and Sue and their dedication and what they've gone through for your honor and for your glory. Bless each one here. Give us a good service to follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.